Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
What keeps you motivated to work out? You know, for me, when I'm on my treadmill, if it's a good TV show, something I really like, or if I'm outside having a nice walk or run, maybe it's the weather or being able to gather my own thoughts, but I'm not always that motivated. I'm sure you're not either. My guest is Dr. Sherilyn Hultquist. She's assistant professor in the Department of Exercise Science and Sport Management at Kennesaw State University. So, Dr. Hultquist, what do you think are the most important things to keep people motivated to work out?
People need to determine what is motivating them to work out. And what I mean by that is everybody has a different reason, and it can be as simple as weight management, general appearance. It could be stress management, and some people go for the affiliation. They like to be with a group. Some people take exercise as their time alone. So I think people need to really determine what it is that motivates them and concentrate on those factors, because they are going to be different.
Well, the fact is that motivation builds on itself. So if you pick a result like weight loss and you start to exercise and you see weight loss just from your exercise, that builds on itself, doesn't it?
It sure does. So setting goals, that goes into our other part of motivation, is what are you motivated by, and then what are some goals that we can set in terms of reaching whatever you've determined is important for you. So if stress management is important, then we want to set some goals to maybe do some, you know, cardiorespiratory exercise, you know, 30, 45 minutes, a few days a week, maybe a yoga class. So we want to figure out the types of things that will help us with stress management. Weight loss is one that we hear all the time, and I also teach group exercise classes, so I'm always trying to figure out with my members what motivates them, and it is so varied. So whenever they tell me what motivates them, I try to give them cues that they can use throughout the week to keep them coming in and staying motivated, because that's one of the hardest things is a lot of people start out with a lot of motivation, and then it sort of trails off when things get a little bit difficult. And when I say difficult, it brings in the other side of the story is you have your motivators, but we also need to figure out what your barriers are. So you have to make sure that the motivation and the goal setting outweighs the day-to-day barriers that get in the way of actually living a physically active lifestyle.
None of us have time to exercise, Dr. Hultquist. We have to make the time. That's what I tell my clients and patients. You know, it's not something that's just going to happen. So, okay, number one, you're setting goals. You're deciding what you want to do and why you want to do it. The second thing now, you need to get yourself going and see those results. Do you think, as in Weight Watchers, for example, that journaling helps keep you motivated, or is that just one more thing that you say, oh, geez, it's another thing I have to do?
You know what? That is going to be, I've always preached that we have to be very dependent on the person. That's going to work great for some people, and we need to sort of explore different options to keep people motivated. Some people, if we have them keep a journal, they're out. Other people, the journal is what's going to keep them in. So some people do very well with self-monitoring and tracking. And other people, they're going to find that very cumbersome. That in and of itself could become a barrier. So I think as fitness professionals, we need to be a lot more in tune with being able to adjust our message and our advice based on what our clients and patients are telling us works for them. And if we see that something's not working, then we need to be a little bit more savvy about what we are telling them. But I think it's fantastic. However, that system would work well for me. And it would not work well for my best friend, let's say.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it works well for me, too. And how about some motivation tips like, you know, not comparing yourself to others or not expecting perfection? Because you see these ladies in the gym and it's like, oh, you know, or on TV, whatever. So what about comparing ourselves and expecting perfection? As women, we negative self-talk all the time. Do you think that that depletes our motivation?
I think that that definitely hinders our motivation, because it can be a very detrimental thought process that, you know, we're not living up to these expectations, and you can walk into any gym and not feel really great about yourself. So it's not that hard to do. You pick up any magazine, and you know, when we go to work out, it's easy to look around. And I think that's where we kind of come back to figuring out what is your motivation and setting specific personal goals, and then finding some way to self-monitor and to track. It may not be a daily journal, but maybe we need to stay on measurements. Maybe some people need to track mood or sleep patterns, and you know, other things that are very tangible to that individual. So I do believe that one of the main things we can do to increase motivation is to be very personal about what it is that we want or our clients want, help them sort of determine those things, and then help them goal set. If some goals need to be short-term, could be weekly, and then I think we need some long-term goals that we're really striving for, you know, the 3, 6, 12-month goals. So I think
That's right. And we set our goals and we decide whether we want to write it down. We don't expect perfection with ourselves. We don't compare ourselves to others. What about convenience? I mean, I'm not a club person, so I'm not going to the club to work out. I need to be able to get on my treadmill or my elliptical or go outside if the weather permits. So where does convenience fit into motivation for people?
I think convenience is huge, because not only do people, the number one barrier to exercise is definitely people perceiving that they don't have enough time, and I want to make that clear, perception is what's going on there. And then people go to the lack of energy, so kind of getting themselves up and going. Family and friends may not participate, so you've got a social barrier, and they may not, I know this is hard for you and I to believe, some people just don't enjoy it. And that's not my problem, so my problem is fitting it all in as opposed to trying to get there. But convenience is going to be extremely important, and we do know that if people are going to visit a facility, it's probably going to be within 5 miles of their home or work, and some people are never going to go into that environment. So I think looking into the community, possible options at home, maybe it's simple to pick up a DVD, but you got to put the DVD in, and you got to do the exercise. So whether you're going to be walking your neighborhood, it can be as simple as just having a proper attire. So in the summertime and wintertime, making sure that you're ready to exercise in the elements, and a little bit of planning will go a long way. So I think that one of the keys for the convenience is it's never going to be convenient, but if we plan for it, it will be a lot simpler to work into our daily lives.
And where does reward fit in, Dr. Hultquist? Because
everywhere.
You know, well, and you don't want to obviously you're, you know, trying to lose weight, whatever you're trying to do, you know, you don't reward yourself with food or,
exactly,
you know, that extra glass of wine, which I've been known to do.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what do we reward ourselves with as a motivator to keep us exercising?
That's a good question, because a lot of people, people do go to the food. They're like, I did so great, so I've earned, you know, that slice of cake that's going to be at the office party. And I think people sort of justify letting those calories sneak in because they've earned it and that they use that as a reward. And I agree with you that we need to find other things. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, you're going to let yourself take a day off of exercise. I'd rather see you recover and rest and spend time with your family as opposed to rewarding yourself with, you know, the wine or the cake or the chips, whatever your thing might be. It can be something small, like once you reach a certain goal that you'll, especially with weight loss, that you will treat yourself to, you know, that cute new pair of jeans or new pair of shoes, and you know, the little things along the way that sort of keep you comfortable and wanting to be physically active. So, you know, sort of replenishing your equipment, so to speak. You know, maybe just a night out with your significant other, and that doesn't have to be something that's drawn out with dessert and wine. However, it could be something that, you know, you sort of let yourself, you know, earn that luxurious night out. I like the massage, personally, but I know that
that's a great reward. You know, giving yourself
a
massage.
Massage, yeah, schedule
now,
that.
In the last 20 seconds or so, give us your best advice for keeping motivated and sticking with a program.
You know what? Motivations change, and I think that if people can be aware that the reasons you start a program are probably not the reasons that you stay with a program, and challenging yourself, finding small and large challenges along the way, which goes back to goal setting, I think is going to go a long way. So motivations do change.
Motivations change. You are listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. I'm Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.